before.
How's that? Is that on sweet?
I don't know what I'm doing up here. It's the first time using this little lapel thingy. Does it go on the tie or does it go on the suit? I don't know. But I was back there talking to Jeff. I said, I saw the camera up there and I was like, Jeff, is this going to be live streamed? He goes, it sure is. And I was like, how much would it cost for you not to live stream it? He said, oh, about $300 an hour. I said, sweet, we're only going to be about 15 minutes anyways. So, well, what I prepared for you tonight is just kind of a little something I got in my Bible reading, actually. But we're going to be in Luke number 16. We're going to be in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. But, oh, hey, you could put it in my wedding present. You could just not record it if you could want. That would be all right with me. That's fine, but I'm getting married this week. That's kind of a crazy thought. Who would have thought that I would have got married? Diane. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why I don't like Diane. Ask what? Oh, Clara, she doesn't know. She doesn't know nothing. But all right, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 16. And we're going to start in verse number 19. It says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus received evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one raised from the dead. Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for this day. Just thank you so much for all the great things you've given to us. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share what you've given me, Lord. Just please pray that you would work through me. Just please give me the words to say. I pray that somebody here would just hear what I have to say and just be encouraged, or just please pray that I would say something that would help someone tonight. And just please use me, as I know I can't do any of this without you, Lord. And just please pray that I wouldn't try to take it in my own hands, Lord. Just please pray that I would just trust in you, put all my faith and trust in you, Lord. Just pray that we'd have a good rest tonight. And in Jesus' name, amen. So in Luke chapter number 16, we see the story of Lazarus and the rich man. So two very different people. First, we have Lazarus. He was poor. He was homeless. He was full of sores that the dogs came and licked. And it was just a very sad man. He had nothing. He had nobody. He was hungry all the time. It says in verse number 21 that he was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He had nothing. He was nothing. And then on the other hand, we have the rich man who had a ton of money. He had a beautiful home. He had servants. He had horses, chariots, probably all of these things. He just had everything he could ever want. He never needed anything. And we see in verse number 22, and it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So both of these men died, okay? One very rich and one very poor. Now we know that Lazarus went into heaven and the rich man went to hell. And we know that Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor or he was humble or anything like that, but he went to heaven because he trusted in Jesus. And we know that the rich man went to hell. And we know that he didn't go to hell because he was rich or he had all this wealth or all this stuff. But he went to hell because he denied the gift of Jesus Christ, the free gift that God gives us. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that is why he went to hell, because he did not trust in Jesus. Now we're going to be done looking at Lazarus, because he's in Abraham's bosom. So we're going to focus on where that rich man is now. So that rich man is in hell right now. Okay. Now the Bible talks more about hell than it does heaven. I know most of everybody knows about that, but I just thought that was a very interesting thing that God would talk more about hell than he would heaven. But I want to ask you a question. What is hell? What is your idea of hell? What do you think hell is? Now, I know we all have an idea of what hell is, and we know what hell is, but I just want you to think, what is hell to you? So we're going to look at what hell is tonight. Alrighty. So, number one, I have here, hell is a place of eternal suffering. In Matthew 25, verse 46, it says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, into life eternal." Now those who die in Christ, I have to be sure to keep these in order here. Those who die in Christ go to heaven and are given an eternal body for joy, peace, and pleasure. Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But those who are in hell will have an eternal body for suffering, an eternal state of dying and torment, as they are placed into these flames that they'll never end. They shall be there forever. And it says, I have a verse here, "They shall be cast into the fire that shall never be quenched. They'll be cast into hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." That is eternal torment. And then also in Luke 16, we are told they both die, right? The rich man ended up in hell and Lazarus ended up in heaven. And the rich man in hell, where he was tormented, looked up and saw Abraham. And with him, by his side, he saw Lazarus. And he called up to Abraham and said, "Lord, please send Lazarus, to just dip his finger in water." And he says, I should read the verse. To dip his finger, verse number 24, "Dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now, I don't know about you, but if I would have been tormented, I would have asked for a whole gallon of water. But he just asked for one little drop of water to cool his tongue. And that's something you got to think about. Sometimes you forget about how terrible this place really is. Many people attempt to describe how terrible hell is, and you just can't. You can't describe what hell is and how real, how terrible it is. There is nothing in this world that will ever compare to what hell is. Nothing will even come close. The lost people who die receive an immortal body, I said that earlier, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The flames and the burning will last forever. Now I want to point out something here for you. There are a few pains that are comparable with being burned. Jesus in Matthew 13 said, "Hell is a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth." These terms signify enduring, excruciating pains. So if you can imagine someone being burned, it's just kind of crazy to think somebody being burned and them crying out and them in just extreme pain. They will be tormented forever. If you think the Earth's core, I just got these off the internet, the Earth's core is 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Hell is a place where all who are there will be tormented beyond their wildest imaginations. If a person dies without Jesus, they have had their last rest. Secondly, hell is a place of eternal separation. At death, a lost person is taken from earth and from all the good things and is separated forever in hell. Hell is a prison. Hell is an eternal prison prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not prepared for us, but the people who go there are people who rejected Jesus and chose to go to hell. Now, I just imagine a life without God and everything good in this world you're separated from. You got love, joy, peace, righteousness. Everything that you enjoy in this life is gone. And God will not be present in hell, so you'll be separated from God. And that, just thinking about that is just terrible. We also find in Luke 16 that there is a great gulf fixed that prohibits any rejoining of the good things of heaven, which can be seen from hell. Eternity is forever, eternal and forever is a long time. And just whenever you think about it, we kind of think about hell. And we're like, yeah, they're going to be there forever. But whenever you truly think about somebody, and especially whenever he says wailing and gnashing of teeth, you think, okay, they're going to be suffering. They're going to be suffering forever. They're going to be there for eternity. And it's hard to think. We can't even comprehend eternity. We can't even comprehend what eternity is. And for them to be there forever, suffering, is just a terrible thing to think about. And point number three, hell is a place of everlasting darkness and sorrow. Now, there are those who believe that hell is kind of going to be a party. There are those who think there's going to be a party down there, and there's going to be golfing and swimming and all this fun stuff that you can do, but it's not. It's really not. I was sitting with my dad one time, and somebody said, all of my friends are there. That's where I want to go. I have no clue how you can think that or what has to be going through your head in order for you to say something like that, but that's somebody who doesn't know what hell really is. But those people who are there are just like this rich man. They're begging God to send someone to warn you, to warn their family not to follow them in their footsteps. Peter tells us that a person without Christ will be placed into chains of darkness and will be forever in the blackness of darkness. It will be a place of eternal darkness and sorrow. And God also says, I can't remember where that is, but that the fire that burns the hottest is black. And just to think about that, I don't even know how that is possible, but it is. Number next, hell is a place of memory. In Luke, Adam told the rich man, which he was in hell, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things. People in hell have a great memory. What else do they have to think about? What else do they have to do down there except think about what they missed out on? All the things that happened, the songs, the prayers, the words of witness, people who prayed for them, their father, their mother, their pastor, their friends, all of those memories will be going through their head. It's an unstoppable bad memory, and the great memory is a symptom of hell. Hell is a place of extraordinary memories. Now, I have here people who have lost limbs or had them amputated say that they feel a pain or an itch, even though there is no limb there, which that's weird to think about. I've never really thought about that. Lost people will crave the good things they enjoyed on earth, but will be unable to satisfy those cravings. Hell is a place that is just, you enjoy nothing. There's nothing there. And also I have here that the rich man remembered his brothers in hell. And he remembered everything. It's just, I don't know, sometimes I think about it and I just can't believe that people are in there right now thinking about, maybe people that I've met are in hell right now. Yeah. And that they're thinking, they know that I'm saved and I didn't tell them. Yeah. How crazy is that? Yeah. I could have changed that. Yeah. But now I know that it's Sunday night and that most, if not all of you here tonight are saved. But so you're probably thinking, why would I preach on hell? But I think that a lot of times Christians today, like Garrett pointed out in his message, he did a great job in his message, by the way. But a lot of times today, we lose our focus on what is important. And what's important is winning people for God. Now, we as Christians, we're so content to just read our Bibles and to pray and to go to church and to live a good life here. Especially in America, we just live such a spoiled life. But a lot of times we worry too much about getting ahead in this world, and a lot of times we worry about what people think about us. And we don't realize that there are people out there who need our help. We get so caught up in worldly things and things that we don't need, because things of this earth aren't going to last long. Once we're taken away, these things are going to be gone forever. We're not going to have anything. We're not going to have a car or an apartment, anything. What's going to matter is the people that we've influenced and where they're going to spend eternity when they die. That's all that matters. What are we doing if we're not telling people? If we're not telling people, we're not doing our job. And I'm the worst one at this, because I work at a job where I could talk to everybody. And I just get so choked up whenever I'm going to. I get so nervous. I get like, what are they going to think about me? I get so nervous that I'm going to get in trouble by my bosses and all this stuff that's going through my head. But if we really knew what was important, we'd be doing that. Now, I don't know about you, but the reason that I got saved was because I heard a message on hell, a very deep message about hell. And it was awful thinking about that. All I could picture was me in hell just burning and not dying. And that messed with me. I did not like that feeling. But now, writing this message, all I could think about was others in hell. All I could think about was my coworkers and my friends and my family. And it's just crazy that everybody we come in contact with is either going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. I know that's an easy thing to think about, but just whenever you wrap your mind around it, it's crazy to think that that's a reality, that that's actually going to happen. Now, I think a lot about what Pastor says about hell. He says, if we really believed in hell, if we could see hell for just a couple of seconds, there wouldn't be a single person that we wouldn't tell that there is a way out of that horrible place, and that place is Jesus. If you could see hell for just 1 second, just get one glimpse of hell, and see all the people there burning and on fire and crying out for God to just send somebody to help them, I think we'd be different. Our whole way of life would just be different. I walked over there. Whoa, that was weird. Our whole way of living would just be... I know, I'm sorry. That was weird. Our whole way of life would be different. I'm sorry, I'm getting off subject here. But the way we did everything would change. We'd go about things differently. We'd say things differently. Our focus wouldn't be on earthly things. They'd be on heavenly things. Our whole conversation would change. And the rich man, just taking a glimpse into hell for a second, the rich man remembered his lost brothers in hell. And he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his brothers so that way they didn't want to come, because he didn't want them to come where he was. I don't know about you. My brother's here, so I can't really say anything. But he had 5 brothers. Yeah, you could. He had 5 brothers, and I can't really say anything, but he probably didn't get along with every single one of them. I get along with my brother all the time. We love each other. We do. We love each other. May not look like it, but we do. But maybe he had a beef with some of his brothers, but all that didn't matter. It didn't matter what happened, what they did to him, what he did to them. He did not want anybody to come to hell where he was in this tormented place. So I wonder how many mothers and how many fathers and brothers and sisters right now are begging God. They're pleading with God, just like this rich man did, to send someone to their family. They're begging God, please send someone to go tell my son. Send someone to go tell my spouse, my father, my mother, that this is not a place where you want to be. This is a real place. Amen. Warn them about the horrors of hell. And you know what the crazy thing is? That you might be the only one. You might be the only one who gets to tell them that. And a lot of times we miss that opportunity. We miss out on telling them about Christ. We miss out about telling them about hell and how real it is. We miss out on all of these things just because we get too nervous. We get too scared. But there are things that are going to happen to people. They might have a family member die. They might lose their jobs or even get sick. And they're going to be looking for somebody for hope. They're going to be looking for someone to help them. And they're going to turn to people that have that hope. And we have that hope. You may be that someone that has that hope for them when that happens, and you can point them to Christ. Now, I want you to think about where you would be if... Now, fortunately, I've been raised in a Christian family. I was brought up in church, but... So I'm a fourth-generation Christian. Fourth? I'm a fifth-generation Christian. Okay. But if you're a first-generation Christian, think about where you would be if nobody told you? Just think about where you would be right now if nobody told you about Christ. It changes everything. Everything changes. Would you be married to your spouse you have now? Your kids? Just where you're living? It just changes everything. We have an obligation to pass the gospel unto them so that they can be saved. Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Let your light shine for Jesus and point people to Him. Now, like I said, I understand that most of you tonight are saved and on your way to heaven. However, do you really believe in hell? Do you really believe that there are people in hell right now burning? Do you believe that hell is a real place? Do you believe in the darkness, the pain, the terror, the separation, and the eternity? Do you believe in hell? Do we realize that all of our unsaved friends, family, coworkers, and even enemies, strangers on the street that we pass by every day, they're in hell, or they're going to go to hell? And if we do not at least warn them and give them the gospel, then they're going there on a fast track. And you think about all of these people in hell, but if you just think of one person in hell, just one person in hell burning, just makes you think. Makes you think about how horrible it is and how you never, ever want to go there. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to. But a lot of times we forget that we're so lucky that we have this gift that we can give to people, and we just hold it in to ourselves or being selfish. But if this doesn't motivate you, I'm kind of already over, I'm sorry. But if this doesn't motivate us to tell people about Christ, nothing will. We'll have missed the joy of seeing people saved. That's the greatest joy you can ever... I've got to lead 3 people to Christ, and that's the greatest thing ever. I got to lead 2 people in Grenada, 2 little girls to Christ, and it was the greatest thing in the world because they actually understood what was happening. And to see that happen is just the greatest thing ever. And if we don't, we're missing out on joys that we could be having. So, well, that's kind of all I have for you tonight. So I guess we're gonna close in prayer then. Dear Lord.